You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
The Holy Spirit sets us apart for the works and purposes of God in the area of sanctification. Learn more about this truth in week 3 of our series, Make Room.
Good afternoon, everyone. We are now on the third installment. In the first installment, we talk about the person of the Holy Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit is also God, the same with God the Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In the second installment, we talk about how the Holy Spirit lives in us and is with us and will be for us, and how He fills us with His power and how He works in our lives. Now today, we are going to dig deeper on what the Holy Spirit does in our own individual lives, what the Holy Spirit is capable of doing in our individual lives. We'll be reading from the book of Romans in chapter 8, verse 1 to 13. Verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Verse 5, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Now, if you're familiar with Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8 talks about living in the Spirit. And it talks about how, as believers, we are to live a life that is worthy of the Lord Jesus Christ and to live in the Spirit who gives us life and peace. We live in the Spirit as believers of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we say we are believers, if you look at the scriptures, we don't have the option to live our life just by our own strength. It has to be lived in light of the Holy Spirit that is in us. It also tells us that we have to live in the Holy Spirit because it is life and peace, and that if we don't live in the Spirit and remain in the flesh, that is wickedness, we will experience death. We will experience death if we continue to remain in the flesh, even if we've heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we live in the Holy Spirit, we will have life and we will have peace. Now in verse 8, it says there, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, why can't we please God if we remain in the flesh? That is because if we remain in the flesh, we will remain in our own wickedness. And one character of the Lord Jesus Christ that is opposed to wickedness is His holiness. God is holy and man is not. God is holy. Now, when we talk about holiness in the dictionary, it talks about perfect goodness and perfect righteousness. God is perfectly good and God is perfectly righteous. That's why we need to live a life in the Spirit, because the Spirit Himself is God and the Spirit is holy. If we remain in our flesh, we will remain in our own wickedness, which is God is intolerable to wickedness because of His holiness. God is holy and cannot tolerate sin. In the Old Testament, we can see here that even if God is holy and His people are not, His people are wicked, God devised a plan that would make Him be able to fellowship still with His people. Because God is holy and His people are wicked, it separates them from God. But God, in His love, devised something that would make Him fellowship with His people. In Leviticus chapter 19, verse 2, He said here, "Speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel and say to them, 'You shall be holy, for I, the Lord, your God, am holy.'" He said, "You shall be holy." This is a declaration from God that His people will be holy. That if you believe that you are of Christ, that you are a believer of Christ, that you yourself will be holy. And this is a declaration from God. God declared His people to be holy. But if we read verses under in chapter 20, verse 7, He said, "Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am the Lord your God." God declared His people to be holy, but now He is giving instruction or admonition or command to His people to be holy. It gives us a picture that though His people were already holy, God still wants His people to work out their holiness. That still they have a responsibility to keep themselves holy. That's in the Old Testament. Let's look at the New Testament. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says here, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." A chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. This is also a declaration that whoever believes in the Lord Jesus Christ in the present generation will also be holy. If we surrender our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be holy. In the same light, in Romans chapter 1, verse 7, He also said, "To all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." He called His people saints. That is a picture of His people being holy before Him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, He said, "To the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints." His people are called saints. Not just those who died, but even those who are living. Those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are saints and holy before Him. This is a declaration of God making His people holy before Him. Now let's take a look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. He said, "But as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.'" In the New Testament, He declared that His people will be holy, but He also commanded His people to work out their holiness. That yes, even though that they were already holy, they still need to work out their holiness for them to be continuously holy. There is a responsibility for a believer to keep themselves holy. God made them holy, but they were to make themselves holy as well. And that is for us, we are already holy, but every day of our lives, we have to work out our holiness. Who among you believes that every day we are facing issues? And that is something that God is working out in our life. God is working out in our lives to remove all of those issues so that we will become perfect in the end. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, "Since we have this promise, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God." In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 7, He said, "For God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness." Every day, we have a responsibility to become holy before God. Yes, we are holy, but we can still be made holy and perfect. The theological term for us becoming holy or for God making us holy is the term sanctification. Who among you are familiar with the term sanctification? Sanctification according to the Westminster Catechism, is the work of God's grace, whereby they whom God hath before the foundation of the world chosen to be holy are in time, through the powerful operation of His Spirit, applying the death and resurrection of Christ unto them, renewed in their whole man after the image of God, having the seeds of repentance unto life, and all others saving grace put into their hearts, and those graces so stirred up, increased and strengthened, as that they more and more die unto sin and rise unto newness of life. Now, he said, it is God's work. Sanctification is a work of God. It is not by our own strength that we will be sanctified. It is by the work of God that is in us. Now, notice that he said work and not act. If he had said that it is an act of God, it could have been a one-time experience for us. That we do not need to work out our holiness. That just by his declaration, we are already made perfect. In the definition, it was said that it is the work of God. It signifies a continuous process. That we have to go through a certain process for us to be made perfect and holy before Him. Yes, we are holy, but God is still working us out into perfection. Just imagine the process of refining gold. The first time the gold is being refined, it's still not perfect. It's still not 100% gold. But if the gold continues to go through a process, in the end, the gold will become 100% gold with 100% value. God is allowing us to go through that process of sanctification for us to be made perfect. He continually works within us to sanctify us. So sanctification is a process where divine sovereignty and human responsibility comes together. We have a part to play in our sanctification. God wants us to participate in the process. God wants us to participate. He does command us to be sanctified, to be holy, for sanctification is both a work of God and a work of the believer. So we have a responsibility in our sanctification. We cannot be complacent thinking that I'm already holy, because there's a command that God wants us to fulfill, to work out our holiness. So although the Catechism presents sanctification as a continuous process, we will find in Scripture that it has an instantaneous beginning and a continual development. What does it mean to say when I say instantaneous beginning? That it has an instant beginning, that we can be instantly made holy. When God declared us holy, we are already holy. Nobody can take that away from us. We are already holy. Instantaneous holiness. And a theological term that is called definitive sanctification. Definitive sanctification. It refers to the Christian's instant and decisive break from the dominion of sin when he comes to faith in Christ. That means to say that when we surrendered our life to the Lord Jesus Christ broke our bondage of sinfulness. That we are no longer slaves to sinfulness. That we can say no to sin because it already has no hold on us. If before we are entangled by sin, right now, because of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have been set free. And that is instantaneous sanctification, definitive holiness. Because Jesus Christ has broken the chain of slavery to sin, we are already made holy. But there's still a second sanctification, which is called progressive sanctification or the continual development. Progressive sanctification refers to the Christian's gradual growth in knowledge and holiness. Take note, knowledge and holiness. It means to say that your quiet time every day is very important. So that having received forensic righteousness in justification, he may now develop personal righteousness in his thought and conduct. That is, in simple terms, conviction. That as believers of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we walk in his holiness, we will develop certain convictions in our lives that will make us holy and pleasing before him. The Holy Spirit will give us that nudge for us to be able to develop those convictions. Just imagine this sailboat. For this sailboat to be able to reach its destination, it has to rely on the power of the wind. And also, not just the power of the wind, but it has also to rely on the strength of the crew of the ship to steer up the sails for them to catch the wind to direct the path of the boat to its destination. Our sanctification is the same way with this sailboat. That we rely on the power of God through the Holy Spirit in us, but we don't stop there. God has given us a responsibility for us to be able to steer up the direction of where we're going. For us to be sanctified, we have to take part in our sanctification. We have to be transformed. There needs to be progress in our Christian life. For the longest time, 1 decade na kang believer and there's still no evident change in your life, it means to say that you are not working out your holiness. You are not taking part in the sanctification process that God has given us. Sanctification is both God's work and our responsibility. We have a role to play. This is a continuing work of God with which He calls us to cooperate. For the believer, holiness is both a fact and a command. Now, what is the role of the Holy Spirit in our sanctification? Let's take a closer look at the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. Number one, sanctification is a work of the Holy Spirit. Now, in the first installment of this series, we've established that the Holy Spirit is God Himself and Jesus Christ Himself. He is one with the Trinity. If God was the one who made us holy, then definitely it is the Holy Spirit that will sanctify us. It is the work of the Holy Spirit that will sanctify us. Sanctification is a work of the Holy Spirit. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 3, he said, "Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh?" Paul is talking to the Galatians here that they started in the Spirit, but now they are finishing out their sanctification in the flesh. And Paul is rebuking the Galatians. "You foolish Galatians." Paul is simply telling us that the Holy Spirit was the one who started a good work in us, and it is the Holy Spirit who will perfect that good work in us. It will be the Holy Spirit that will bring our sanctification process into completion. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 to 11, he said, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God." It is very clear that it will be the Holy Spirit that will bring every good work in us to completion. It is the Holy Spirit that will perfect our sanctification. We will be holy because of the work of the Holy Spirit in us. Second, the Holy Spirit makes believers to be more like Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 and 18, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." Verse 18, "And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." Are being transformed into the same image. God is transforming us into the image and likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ through the working of the Holy Spirit in us. Sanctification is the work of the Holy Spirit in enabling believers to live holy lives, dedicated to the service of God and conformed to the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. In sanctification, the Holy Spirit is working in us to make us be like Christ. A sanctified person has his heart changed, his will renewed, his understanding enlightened, his conscience purified, and his affections spiritualized. Meaning to say, when the Holy Spirit takes his work in us, we will be transformed in every way. In every area sa atong life, we will be transformed. That when you look back into your life 10 years ago, there will be no trace of your past in your present. Because God will be able to transform you from one degree of glory to another. And that is such a beautiful picture for us. That even though we are sinners, we are wicked, we are sinful, we have hope of holiness. Because it is God who will work within us through the Holy Spirit. We have a hope for holiness. That is the Holy Spirit. Now, how does the Holy Spirit work sanctification in our lives? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. But we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. Our daily quiet time is important, is very important in the sanctification process. He said here, by the Spirit and belief in the truth. The only way for us to be able to believe the truth is if we know the truth. That is the Scripture. The truth is in the Scripture. If we don't open the Scripture, we will not be able to feed ourselves with the truth. The only way for the Spirit to be able to begin and to continue His work in us is if we continue to feed Him with the truth. That is the very Word of God in the Scripture. Having said that, your daily quiet time is important. And aside from that, obedience to His commands is fundamental to our sanctification. Not just knowing His word, but applying His word in our life is very important. Obedience to His command, obedience to His word is fundamental to our sanctification. Now, have you ever tried cleaning a belt buckle? Before nimo siya gilimpyuhan, it's so dirty, dili nimo makita ang imuhang reflection. But when you started scrubbing the buckle, you would begin to realize later on that there's already an image of you in that buckle. And the more you polish that buckle, the more you'll be able to see clearly your reflection on that buckle. That is something that the Holy Spirit does in us. He continues to polish us day in, day out, so that in the end, we will become in the image and likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We will become in the image and likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Holy Spirit keeps on polishing us day in, day out. The key here is if we allow the Holy Spirit to continue His work in us, to continue to polish us. Sometimes when we're in the bathroom, pag humanatog shower, foggy ang ato ang mirror and dili na to maklaro ang ato ang reflection. And we begin to wipe that mirror clean. And then we will be able to see clearly our reflection. Now the Holy Spirit is wiping us clean, washing us clean, so that in the end, people will be able to see the image of the Lord Jesus Christ in us. How we live our life is very important because our life is the reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ in the lives of unbelievers. Wherever we go, people will be able to see Christ because of our life. We are the reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ in this world. Our lives is very important. That's why it's very important that we take good care how we live our life each and every day. Because it might be a different Jesus that we will bring to believers if we don't take care how we live our lives. Our lives are very important. The Holy Spirit helps us to put to death the sinful nature in us. In Romans chapter 8, verse 12 to 13, I'm reading from the Amplified Version. It says here, those who are living according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh which gratify the body, but those who are living according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit, His will and purpose. Now the mind of the flesh is death, both now and forever, because it pursues sin. But the mind of the Spirit is life and peace, the spiritual well-being that comes from walking with God, both now and forever. This verse is telling us clearly that if we live our life in the Spirit, we will be able to put away our wickedness. That we will have a renewed mind. It's as simple as not having appetite anymore to the sinful desires of the flesh. When we are presented with a temptation, we will not take pleasure or delight in it because the Spirit takes away our appetite for our sinful desires. And aside from taking away the appetite from our sinful desires, the Spirit now changes our appetite or begin to work in us that we will have an appetite for the things of God. Right now, we will begin to think of the things of God. Before living in the Spirit, we were just thinking of I, me, what will benefit me. But now that we are living in the Spirit, what will benefit God? If I do this, will God be honored? If I do this, will God be glorified? If I do this, will people be able to see Christ in me? If I do this, will my life be a good testimony of Christ living in me? That is what the Holy Spirit will do in us if we live in the Spirit. He will begin to give us new appetite. Appetite for the things that are of eternal value. That when we will be tempted just like this, we will begin to see lechon. We will now begin to say no. No, because it's not good for my health. It's not good for my body. It's the same thing with sin. That when a temptation is presented to us, we will be able to begin to say no. We will now have the power to say no to temptation because we are allowing the Spirit to work in us. We no longer have an appetite to sin because the Holy Spirit has already transformed us. Way back in high school, I started playing computer games. Mga Dota, mga internet games. I've been hooked since high school and even after graduating college. 2 years after graduating college, I was still playing Dota. But for some reason, when I became a believer, when the Holy Spirit started His work in me, I didn't understand before na nganong dili na ko ganahan modula og ani. I tried, but marabag, dali lang, mabalaw ko dayon. I no longer have an appetite for something that I have delighted so many years in my life because the Holy Spirit has changed my appetite. That is what the Holy Spirit will begin to do in us. He will change our appetite from the desires of the sinful flesh now to the desires of the will of God for our life. The Holy Spirit will change our appetite. According to Sinclair Ferguson, he said, "Sanctification is by no means a mystical experience in which holiness is ours effortlessly. God gives increase in holiness by engaging our minds, wills, emotions. We are involved in the process. That is why biblical teaching on sanctification appears both indicative, that is, I, the Lord, sanctify you, and the imperative, sanctify yourselves this day. We have a part to play in our sanctification. God gives us the opportunity to be able to take part in this sanctification. And when we come to think of it, allowing us to take part in our sanctification, it will be messy. But God allowed us to do so anyway because He loves us. And through the process of sanctification, we will all the more develop our relationship with our Heavenly Father, with our Creator, with the Lord Jesus Christ, that every day as He sanctifies us, we will begin to see the good work that He is doing in us. We will begin to see that, Lord, You are a Father. That we will begin to see how much love He has displayed and poured out in us. Every day of our life, we have an opportunity through the process of sanctification. God wants us to be in this process so that we will be able to experience Him fully and completely, even in this world. That even before going to heaven, we have already experienced the goodness and faithfulness of God in our life here. That living in this sinful world, we will begin to be in awe of His mighty works in our life. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." Church, God sanctified us for a purpose. God sanctified us for a purpose, and that is for us to be heralds of His majesty, heralds of His glorious grace in our life, to be heralds of His wonderful deeds and virtues and perfection. The moment God started His sanctifying work in us, we already begin to proclaim His goodness, His faithfulness in the lives of other people. Whenever you share the gospel to people, people were not changed, were not transformed because of how good you are or of how eloquent you were in sharing the gospel. People were changed because people were able to see that indeed what you are sharing is true to your life. That I'm not just hearing what you're saying to me, I'm seeing it personally in your life. People are changed. People are drawn closer to the gospel because of the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit in us. We will begin to change this nation because of the sanctifying work in our individual lives done by the Holy Spirit. We are sanctified for a purpose. And Philippians chapter 2 verse 13, it says here, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure." Now allow me to read this one. The Christian is to actively take his part in sanctification and deliberately pursue a life of obedience to our God in fear and trembling. The passage explains that even the working of our salvation is in fact a work of God. It is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. Our choices and actions remain under God's control after our conversion or after us being birthed again. Therefore, although a person is conscious of his efforts and struggles in sanctification, in the end, God receives the honor and the Christian still has no basis to boast for his achievement. In the end of the day, we cannot boast of our sanctification because it is God's work that will perfect us. It is God's work that will make us into the image and likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we are actively participants of this sanctification process, but it is God who gives us the motivation. God gives us the grace or the drive for us to pursue His holiness. It is the Holy Spirit who makes repentant believers holy, transforming them into the image of Christ. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, talks about the victory over sin, that as believers, we can be victorious over sin. But he also talks about us not being able to overcome sin just by our own strength. He talks in Romans how we can be victorious of sin, and that is only through the powerful working of the Holy Spirit in us. It is the Holy Spirit who empowers us to be able to crucify the flesh and its evil desires and instead bear the fruit of the Spirit instead. God is just so amazing. He made us holy, and not just that, in the end, we will bear the fruit of the Spirit. The entire process of sanctification, from the moment of conversion all the way to the death of a believer or to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, is understood biblically as being brought by the Holy Spirit with the voluntary participation of the believer. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to work in us. Because if you don't voluntarily allow ourselves to be under the Holy Spirit cannot do its work. In verse 13, he said, "Both to will and to work for His good pleasure." Now, this is the motive behind God's work in our life. He does so because it gives Him pleasure. It gives Him pleasure to work out our holiness. In this verse, we can see the Father heart of God for us. That the very holiness that first separated us from God now becomes the holiness that will make us enjoy our fellowship and intimate fellowship with the Lord, our Heavenly Father. Because He has made us holy, He will continue to sanctify us so that He can enjoy a fellowship, an intimate fellowship with us. The Holy Spirit sanctifying us is an evidence of God reaching out to us. It was never us who reached out to God. It was God, and continuously, it is God who is reaching out to us. The Holy Spirit is the evidence of God reaching out to us. And aside from that, if we take a look at this verse clearly, God delights or God enjoys in sanctifying us. why would we not allow God to enjoy the process of sanctifying us? Our part is just to allow Him. Just allow Him to do His work. And in that process, we will be reaping the blessings. We will be receiving the gifts, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Before I end, let me just give you this one. God loves you unconditionally. Who you are, wherever you are in your life, whatever problems or trials you are going through, God loves you unconditionally. Whatever things that are not pleasing to God that you've done 5 minutes ago, 5 seconds ago, 5 hours ago, God loves you still unconditionally. Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God, because it was God who has reached out to us and is continuously reaching out to us through the powerful works of the Holy Spirit in us.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.